Welcome to the call. Listen, this is Dr. G, the Relationship Beast, and I'm so glad that you have been able to join me on tonight. We are live via Facebook, and we're having an amazing discussion on tonight because tonight we're going to be talking about finding Mr. Right. And so a lot of people are having issues. A lot of women are having issues as it relates to this subject. So what I want to do tonight is I want to have an open forum discussion talking about this very, very issue. So let's get this started, all right? So we had a couple of questions that came to my inbox from last night and today, and I want to answer as many questions as possible. One of the questions that was in the inbox had to do with why am I attracting the same types of guys? And that's a good question. And I think you need to evaluate, what type of guy are you looking for? Many women do not know what they want. They're confused as it relates to really their intentions about, you know, finding a good man. And so one of the things that I know to be so strong is the fact that you need to know what you want in a man. You know, if you want him to work, you need to say that. I need a working man. You know, if you want him to cook, clean, you need to mention that. And so the problem is that women are finding themselves attracting the wrong types of dudes. You know, they're talking about, you know, Dr. G, listen, I'm a good woman. I don't cheat. I don't lie. I don't do this, that, and the third. But I keep attracting liars. I keep attracting cheaters. And the reason for that is because I believe that there is a residue of a soul tie that's still on you, and it needs to come off. And so even though you don't reflect what you're attracting, that spirit is still on you. And so you got to be careful that you're not attracting the wrong spirits all because that you want to be with someone, all right? Now, we have a couple of young ladies on the phone. I know we have Tamika in the building. Who else is on the phone? I know we have Monica on the phone with us live. And if you're on Facebook Live, let me know. And again, we're going to try to answer as many questions as possible. We don't have any type of format tonight, but I just want to try to answer as many questions as possible. Monica, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Awesome. And Tamika, you're still on the phone, right? I think Tamika was still on the phone. Tanya and Nika, are you still on the phone?
Yes.
Okay, awesome. So, ladies, while you guys are on the phone, I want to hear from you because, you know, this is going to be a Q&A session, so I don't want to do all the talking, but I want to hear what's on you guys' heart. So give me some real-life situations that you guys are going through as it relates to dating. It might be recently. It may be, within the last few years. I would love to hear what you guys have to say. So let's open up the floor for Q&A, and then we'll take it from there.
Well, I'll go first. I'll go ahead.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
This is Monica, and one of the things that I'm noticing is that a lot of our men do not know how to approach women properly. Their conversation is very weak, and it's somewhat of a turnoff when they approach you. In a manner that seems more a boyish type of way, more so than a grown man would. So that's one of the things that I'm encountering. I don't know about the other women.
Sure. So you mentioned that their approach is weak. In what way? Because, you know, as men, we try to come up with the latest the latest game. So.
Exactly. You know, the approach is just, you know, hey, lady, you looking so fine. And for me, that's just not like a turn on, you know. I just the approach is just not like it used to be back in the day. I mean, that's just how I see it.
Okay. So, well, you know, what are you looking for a man to tell you or say to you?
Something simple, like, it's a beautiful day today, how was your day? You know, then kind of segue into, you know, you look beautiful. You know, some type of conversation, a meaningful conversation.
Sure. So you're pretty much looking for someone who's going to be intellectual, you know.
Exactly.
Be able to hold a conversation, you know, besides
stimulating.
Talking about, you know, absolutely nothing. I got you.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it just depends on the type of guy. You know, you got some dudes
exactly.
who are very, very versed in, you know, news, politics, sports, you name it. But, you know, then you got some guys who are just going to be running game all day long. So, you know, what I tell people is give them about 5 minutes and it'll give you a good idea about what type of man you're going to be talking to.
Exactly.
Because you'll know a fool by his words. So let him talk for about 5 minutes, and I guarantee you, you're going to find out what time it is. And then you go from there. But my thing is that ladies are wasting too much time on men that, you know, you're spending way too much time. And mm-hmm. it doesn't take, you know, a 40-day consecration. It don't take all that. You can kind of discern, you know, what you're dealing with early on in the game. I don't think you have to, you know, go and be $2,000 in debt and all this crazy stuff. You know, spend all your food stamps and, you know, all this craziness. Listen, what needs to happen is let him talk. Let him talk for about 5 minutes, and then he's going to be able to tell you exactly where he's coming from. So, Tamika, you had a question.
No, I didn't have a question, but to add on to what she's saying, I had an incident where me and one of my friends went to a bar, and of course the place was packed. There was nowhere to sit, and this guy motioned for us to come and sit with him. There was no one at his table but him and his son, which his son was went to the restroom or somewhere. But anyways, he started talking, and the conversation started off with, just like she said, damn, y'all fine. And so what's your name? What's your name? I get a woman. I'm telling you, I get her and bam, 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 bam. And I'm like, I told him, like, your conversation, it makes no sense right now. Like, what are you, it makes no sense.
Yes.
Who are you trying to, who attention are you trying to get? He's like, damn, Shadow, you know, you want this and this and that. So look at me, turn around and hit the whole thing. And I'm like, that's such a turnoff. You really turned me off, man. And by the end of the night, he apologized and he went on to admit that he was married and the things that he do for his wife. And, you know, a lot of women fall for it, the approach that he gave me and my friend or whatever. I'm like, oh my God, they got to be the weakest woman to fall for the weakest man. So, yeah, back to what she's saying, they do come on with a weakness, but only a strong woman would recognize it.
Yeah, but see, that's the problem, though. That's the issue, is that these men, they don't have no new lines. They've been doing the same stuff over and over again, and guess what? It's been working.
Hmm. It worked. But Dr. G, do you think, because we have Venus and Mars conversations at work lately a lot, and of course I'm not a man, I'm nowhere near it, but with men, you know, they tend to be immature and they growth come with experience. As a man, do you think that the one thing that can mature him is a woman in her rejection? By being rejected that one time from many approaches that worked, you got that one woman that rejected him. Do you think for that moment, that thing meditates on his mind and mature him from that point on?
I think it depends on the man. I think it depends on the man. And the reality, though, Tamika, is that I believe that every good man, every man, I'm sorry, let me change it, every man will meet at least 4 to 5 good women in their lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
It's between the age of high school and up. And most of those men, most of the men who would meet these women will mess over these women, and it's not until afterwards that they realize, oh, my God, I made a huge mistake. I had a good one, and I let her go. And so, you know, sometimes it does mature a man, you know, that good woman come into his life. But then, you know, because he's not mature, he doesn't even realize that she's good for him, and he blows it, you know.
Yeah.
And same cycle repeats over and over and over again. The reality is that you can't change him, and you can't help him to mature quicker, and that has to be on him.
Yeah. I mean, it's not a matter of me trying to change him, but I'm saying for that approach, because I've seen a lot of guys, like, if I'm out and the way that they approach a woman, just like I told that guy, just say another man was looking on and that embarrassed him. And they may have talked about it later and be like, you know, I know, you know, not to approach a woman like that straight off.
Right.
Or they'll try and judge her first before they open their mouth. Because we get judged according to what we got on, the company
sure.
we keep. Or they can be looking from a distance, and if she's high-fiving every moment, every minute, it's like, okay, they easy. But if she's conservative, you know, may sip the wine or whatever, then it give a conservative energy, like, and that approach may be a little harder versus you got them busting out laughing over in the corner
right.
kind of thing. So, yeah, we can judge different by some of everything, but just to be rejected from a man point of view or whatever, like I said, I'm not a man, but I always wondered, like, does rejection play a part in their maturity?
I think it plays a part in their immaturity. Because now that you just rejected me, now I'm finna turn up on you.
Some of them do that.
I'm finna act a plum fool now. You shouldn't have did that.
Mm-hmm. Well, they just move on to the next one.
Yeah, and but that's the thing. It just depends on the guy and who he is in life. And the problem is that you ladies are waiting for a man to mature. You need to already find a man already mature. Because the reality is you're not going to be able to change. It's not going to happen. I don't care how fine you think you look, how long your weave is, it don't even matter. Reality is if he's not ready to mature, he's not. And so you get women where you get women who wait and wait and wait. One of the things I want to tell you guys is this, is that you guys, as women, you guys are very, very driven. You know, you're driven about education, most definitely. You're even driven about your career. And so you guys have this mentality that if I work hard for this, I'm going to get that. If I work hard for, you know, this bachelor's degree, you know, if I work hard in school, ultimately I'm going to get a bachelor's degree. You know, if I work hard in this corporation, I'm going to get to the next level. And the problem is that you guys try to take that same theory in relationships. And what I mean by that is that, you know, you'll get pregnant by this guy and you expect him to marry you. You'll cook and clean for this guy and you expect him to pop a ring on your finger. If I do this, you're automatically expecting that you're going to get that. And the reality is that would never happen until a man is absolutely ready to go there with you. And the issue is that most men are not mature enough to receive that. And so they keep doing the same things. We keep doing the same things because guess what? You keep allowing it.
Mm-hmm.
So when you
That's
put
right.
your foot down and say, listen, I'm not going to, you're going to either do this or I'm gone. I'm not going to be, you know, we've been talking for the past eight years and no ring yet. Why are we together? What's the problem? I'm good enough to sleep with, but I'm not good enough to marry. We have a huge issue. So, but your mentality, though, the mentality of the woman is that if I can do this, I'll get that. If I can love him long enough, if I can just show him I'm a good woman, if I can just cook and fold his clothes, he'll fall in love with me. He'll want to marry me. And the reality is, again, if he's not mature, that's not going to happen. You're going to be living in this type of fairy tale. So, as women, you guys got to really, really, you got to stop. You got to change this game, because what's happening is the same cycle is repeating over and over again. And you're going from a man to a man to another man to another man, another Christmas, another Thanksgiving, another Valentine's Day, another New Year's. And guess what? It's the same spirit but a different man.
Yeah.
And until you stop that, and really mean what you say and say what you mean, the same cycle is going to repeat over and over again. I tell you guys all the time that, you know, insanity is defined as doing the same things over and over again. It's going to keep happening. It is automatically going to happen. You know, it's not a question, might. No, it will. It will happen. So you got to change the game, and you got to get wiser about what it is that you want. Because, again, we teach people how we want to be treated.
Exactly.
So if you don't like it, then you need to say it. You need to speak up. I can't do this no more. I tell people all the time, I don't know what it means to have an on and off relationship. I've never experienced that ever in my life. I don't know what that means. Once I'm done with you, I'm done. There's no going back. I don't know what that means. So we have a lot of people who do that. But my point is that you got to know what you want. You got to absolutely know what you want. As I said last night, a lot of us are at the second half of our lives. And the mistakes that we made in the first part of our lives, we cannot make in the second half of our lives. And so you got to make smart decisions. And you got to know what you mean. So tonight we're talking, for those who are just logging in, we're talking about finding Mr. Right. And I want to give you some clarity as it relates to this issue, because a lot of women are confused. And they're confused because they didn't get the memo that the dating game has changed. They didn't get the memo that what we know as marriage has changed. And so I want to give you the scoop on what's happening, and how you can find your Mr. Right. Is there any other questions? I know Tanikia was on the phone. Monica's still on the phone with me.
Yeah, I'm telling
her. What else are you guys noticing about men?
I think that if they're broken, not only are they immature, but they don't know themselves, they can't be fixed. They can't really change without the proper help. So a lot of times I think that their immaturity has a lot to do with where their mindset is, things that have happened to them maybe in their past. And they really can't help it. They really just don't realize all the things that they do or the damage that they do to other people. And they're not going to until they get the help that they need. Just like you have the women here on the panel, you have the women that, you know, constantly connect with you, and they want to learn, they want to know how to do things in a different manner. So it would be the same thing for the men as well.
Right. Absolutely. And just like, you know, just like women go through things in relationships, they've been dogged out, men have been dogged out too. You know, you'd be surprised how many men have their walls up too, you know, have these defensive, you know, mechanisms up, and it's because they've been abused too, they've been hurt too. And so, you know, it's a terrible thing when two mishandled people come together, because, you know, somebody has to discern, you know, is this the time for me to be selfish? Or do I need to be in a place where I could actually, you know, minister to this person that I'm dealing with, or is he, or my mentality is he's on his own, you know, she's on her own. Whatever she's dealing with, hey, I'm not going to pick up another project. So, you know, what do you do when two people who are coming together, trying to come together, have both been abused and mishandled, you know? And, again, it goes back to the word maturity. You know, you have to be with somebody who, you know, is mature, because it's, I promise you, it's a lot safer. And so many people are missing out because of dealing with immature people, handling people that you thought was ready for a relationship, and it was premature. They were not ready to be married. And so, you know, you find yourself in a situation. So you got to know what to deal with. You know, again, I always say you got to inspect before you expect. It's a must. It's a must. Any other questions?
I don't have a question, but I have, like, Tamika, a situation that's going on now. I was in a relationship previously. And it lasted 4 years. And there's so much more to the story, but I don't want to take all night. But he and I haven't spoke for 4 months. Not a phone call, not a text, not a message or nothing for 4 months. However, one of his friends passed away in a car accident. I'm sure you all heard of Shawty Low. But this is his friend. We all hung out together. So when I first heard of the accident, he was the first person I called, and it was like, should I reach out to him? I'm going to put the differences to the side. So I reached out to him, and he immediately called me back. But in the wake of all of this, what's going on, it's like it opened up doors for him to, and I feel that it's false. Because if you care that much, then 4 months wouldn't have been in between. But it's like he's using his friend's death as an opportunity to try and get back in with me.
Right.
And I'm really not feeling it at all. But a part of me still want to be there for him, being that, you know, because I sympathize with the family and friends, I have been around them. So, I mean, I took it to heart on a whole nother level other than being just a fan. So I just don't want to get caught up with emotion. I'm trying every day to split the difference between the two. But it's like, dang, I'm beginning to feel some old feelings again, but I know that the relationship is not worth it. So how do you deal with that when it's, you know, a tragic moment? I want to sit and listen to how you feel and all that good stuff, but how do you just cut it off and be like, nope, I don't want to talk about us. Not right now.
Yeah.
So I've been go ahead.
I think you just need to set boundaries, you know. I don't think you need to stop being his friend because, you know, Shorty Low died. But I do think that you need to set boundaries and let him know, listen, you know, I'm here for you as much as I can be, but, you know, that's as far as it's going. We're not getting back together. And you need to say it just like that. We are not, I repeat, we are not getting back together. But I just want to let you know that I am here for you. If you need to talk to somebody, I'm here, and I understand. But then you need to allow him to grieve properly, though.
Yeah.
And that normally entails him being by himself, you know, and people grieve differently. You know, some people go to the bottle. You know, some people go to the strip club. I don't know. But I'm just saying, you know, but you need to let him do that by himself. But you need to set the boundaries for your relationship. And if you think you cannot continue to establish this relationship, then you might need to cut it off because
That's what I'm going to have to do because it's like we sit and talk about memories, you know, and we all did this and did that and you find yourself laughing and you get caught up in the moment and I'm like, Lord, I know that this is not because he's already in another relationship. But being that, you know, everything hit so close to home with us because we all have hung out together, we have created memories where we can sit down and talk about versus him talking about, you know, everything with who he's with now. So, you know, my question to him, too, was why she can't consult you at this time. Is she there for you? Like, yeah, but it's different.
So, this is the issue that men we wait for as it relates to women, especially if you're dealing with a guy who ain't no good. All right,
mm-hmm.
We wait until, you know, there's a very vulnerable part in your life. It could be the death. It could be the death in a relationship that just ended. And this is the blood that's in the water that we can tell and we can detect and see, okay, I just need to say the right things and it'll be about 2 minutes I can get in there. And the reality is that he knows, and you guys got history together. So, you know, it ain't going to take long for y'all to get back and rekindle what y'all used to have. And so oftentimes men will use this to their advantage when it's the opposite. Let's say that you lost a best friend and, you know, he reached out to you. Listen, Tamika, if you need anything, and I mean anything, let me know. And so, you know, it's – but you got to be careful. You got to be careful, man. You got to be careful,
yeah.
But you got to shut this down. If not, they're going to be crossed.
No.
I can relate to your story, Tamika. I really can. I was in a similar situation where I was seeing someone, and it was just like one issue after another, one disrespect after another, and they didn't seem to understand what they were doing wrong. But if I told the story to 50,000 women, they would get it. And it happened so many different times and different segments that I got to a point where I was just saying to myself, this is just too much. It's enough. Like, I know my worth. And I just made a conscious choice and the decision to just keep moving. And
yeah.
I just decided to not really correspond because I felt like I had not healed enough. And it was just going back. It's like a dog going back to its vomit.
Yeah.
And I needed to move forward in order for me to find my happiness. And maybe one day, a year, 2, 3 years down the line, we can have a conversation. But right now, I'm growing. I'm feeling good about myself. I'm loving me, and I never want to go backwards to that time. It wasn't very pleasant. So I can kind of relate to the position that you're in, and you just have to, I would say, maybe make a just conscious choice of whether or not you think that relationship is really worth it. I mean, because my thing was, well, now you want us to be friends, but if you couldn't respect me in a relationship, how can you respect me as your friend? If you lied and you did certain things that were kind of disrespectful, how can we be friends? I choose my friends very carefully.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That was a good question. Any other questions, comments?
I do have a question. This is Rachel from Orlando. To
hey,
kind
Rachel.
Of like, hey, segue off of or piggyback off of what they're saying, you spoke of soul ties, which I do believe in those, and you speak about that we need to get rid of them. What if you, what are the methods to get rid of it? Even if you are consciously saying you don't want any part of a past relationship and you've moved on, it could be years, like these ladies are saying, a couple months. What's the strategy of getting rid of that tie?
Well, okay, so let's go back. So how you get rid of soul ties, of course, you know, we all know this is a biblical term. And so there is a spiritual cleansing that needs to go forth. Normally what you would hear is, you know, a person going on a fast for a period of time and really cleansing their spirit, all right? So that's the part that most people always hear about. But there's a natural part that deals with soul ties, which is, one is you got to start denouncing verbal agreements. So, you know, if me and Rachel was together and we broke up and, you know, let's say the same issue with Tamika and her friend and Shorty Lowe. Shorty Lowe dies and I said, Rachel, listen, I'm gonna always be there for you, man. I would die for you. I can't believe this happened. You know, you make verbal agreements, you make verbal declarations about crazy stuff. You know, I will always love you. You know, I will always be in your life no matter what. You know, we make these verbal commitments, and really they're verbal strongholds that
yep.
naturally you wouldn't think they make a huge difference, but you know, in a situation like Tamika's, you know, this guy can play on it. Well, Tamika, you said that you would never leave me. I know we're not together, but you told me we ain't gonna never be together. We ain't gonna never break apart. You said that you will always love me. So that's one of the soul ties that need to be broken, is verbal commitments that you've made. And how you do that is you have to denounce it, which means that you have to let go of that commitment. You know, you let it be known that, listen, whatever we had in the past was the past. I'm moving forward. The woman that you was dating 8 months ago, that's not the same woman anymore. So that's one of the things that has to be removed. The second thing that has to be removed is soul ties can be broken through materialistic stuff. So, you know, if he bought you a ring, if he bought you shoes, a coat, whatever, the fact that y'all used to go together and these items are still in your house, still in your closet, can still be keeping the soul tie active. And so you want to get rid of that stuff. Because, again, these are keepsakes that remind you of the time that y'all spend together, draws that he bought you. I don't know, anything. It could be anything. You know, anything that will remind you of you guys spend time together. You know, Valentine gifts, Christmas gifts, birthday gifts, stuff like that. And so even though, again, the relationship has been over years ago, you know, because you have these certain things still in play, it takes a part, you know, of your decisions that you make in the future. So that's what you need to do.
And in addition to that, Dr. G, when we're talking about material thing, even with cyber, their friendship on Facebook, because I even deleted that because I didn't care to see what was the next move, because it could be a tactic to attack me in a way to supposedly make me jealous, or of course I'm going to get in my feelings whether I admit it or not, just by seeing them having a good time. And here I am single, but I got to log on my Facebook and it's the first person I see. So
Absolutely.
Indirect ties like that.
Yeah,
so.
You got to cut off all communication, text, email, sending pictures. You got to cut all that off.
Mhm.
You got to cut all
so
that.
How do you feel about family? His family and friends. Because I have nothing against no one, but you know, he have family members that I kind of drew a little close to, and the conversation really don't have to be about him. But being
but
that I don't see them, yeah, it end up being about, well, you know he did some of that, man. Well, you know he and I have gotten to the point where I'd be like, well, okay, all right. Well, I really don't want to talk about it, but okay.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you're able to shut it down, because what's happening is that, you know, these little sidebars and these side conversations are instantly bringing you back to the place where you're together again. And so your mind goes back to wondering. And so, you know, and I'd be mad, be like, man, I don't want to hear about this. I didn't come over here to hear about this dude. You know, I just asked you about this. You talking about this. And so, again, it's bringing those constant memories about what you've happened in the past. And for a lot of people, they have not been able to move on because it seems like their past is following them to the future. So what do? It's a soul tie that has to be broken. That's why the third point is you got to cut off all types of communication, even with their family, if it gets to that point, because that's how bad you want to be free. One of the things that I told somebody when we were talking about relationships and marriage, one of the things I said was, I don't want anything that resembles my ex. look like, talk like, taste like. I don't want nothing that look like him, look like her, because that's the issue. That's a huge issue. And so what's happening is we're finding ourselves going for the same okie doke. Again, it's a different person, but carries the same spirit. So, you know, you got to be careful. So I hope that answered your question.
I'm still friends with my ex's friends. Some of the family members are close friends on social media. We may hit like on each other's pages, but it doesn't take me that far back to the point where once I'm interacting with them, that I automatically kind of think of him. No, I've learned how to kind of shut that piece down because of the fact that I decided to do no contact.
Right.
And they don't really bring him up. I mean, they don't bring him up. Like, there's nothing that would make me uncomfortable with dialoguing with them, because a lot of these people I've known for many years. We've both known for many years. And just kind of got reconnected to them. I guess it's like you said, Dr. G, it depends on the individual.
Yeah, it depends on the individual. So the other thing about soul ties is that soul ties can be also positive. And when I say positive, I'm saying positive in the way where, because you've already experienced this type of spirit, this type of person before, really your red flag should be up. You know, your sense of discernment should be in high alert right now, because you just experienced something crazy like this. So, you know, I tell people all the time that, you know, rejection, all rejection ain't bad rejection. Some things needed to happen so that you would be reminded about what you not to go into, you know, ever again. So, you know, for some people, it's a stronghold for them. You know, they can't seem to shake this guy, can't seem to shake this girl, you know. And so you got to start figuring out what it is, what's in your house. You know, are you communicating with this person? You know, what's going on that has you, you know, kind of bugging out? And you may not even be thinking about this individual, you know, on a regular basis, but, you know, again, that type of spirit is the same type of spirit that you're attracting. So, you know, we got to recognize. And again, you can't change nothing that you won't acknowledge. So, you know, we got to figure out what is the root, you know, what's going on, and take it from there. So, again, I hope that answers your question. Any other questions, guys? We got about 15 minutes left on the show for you guys to just join in. We are talking about finding Mr. Right. You know, one of the things I know, ladies, you guys have managed to do well is you've been able to find, without any problem, Mr. Wrong. And you've also been able to manage how to find Mr. Right now. And so you don't need a podcast. You don't need a training class. You don't need a 30-minute session with yours truly to understand and to discern that. But you guys have been able to do that very well. What we need to do is we need to try to find you, Mr. Right, and you need the tools to be able to find Mr. Right. You know, you've dated Mr. Wrong before. You've dated Mr. Right now before. You need to be able to find this right. And so the answer to this mystery question is what do you even know what you really want? You know, are you Mrs. Right? Is the first thing we need to talk about. Because two wrongs don't make a right. Christina's on. Two wrongs don't make a right. So, you know, I know you're in hot pursuit, or you want to be in hot pursuit to be located by, you know, Mr. Right, but, you know, you need to figure out, are you Mrs. Right? Are you ready to be in a relationship? One of the things that I know, guys, are messing a lot of women up is they're not really ready for a relationship, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, and it's starting to show. And it's starting to show when, you know, every 4 months you got a new man. Something is wrong. You shouldn't have a new man every 4 months. And so this is something that we need to talk about, because it's affecting a lot of people. It's affecting a lot of people that's having issues. And so, you know, one of the things that we got in the – I'm sorry, guys. I'm just trying to put this plug in. One of the questions we got online was about this business about being single. And, we got a lot of people who don't want to be single for the simple fact that there's a fear of trying to get to know somebody all over again. And, instead of trying to learn someone all over again, I'll just deal with what I've already dealt with for the last 6 months, and I'm good. I'm not going to go and spend the rest of this year trying to figure out a whole nother guy and if I can trust this dude. Does he like this? Does he like that? And so a lot of women are settling because of convenience. So, again, guys, you don't want to be in a situation where you are settling because you are blocking your advantage of finding Mr. Right. So make sure you take your time. Christina, you're on the phone. Did you have a comment, a question? Are you there, Christina?
I'm here. I don't. Not yet.
Okay. So in order to find Mr. Right, guys, we got to make sure you're in the right place to be found. Again, hiding that house, not trying to date anybody, it ain't gonna happen. And then the other myth is that maybe I need to go to the church and find Mr. Right. And that's one of the biggest myth and lies that was ever told. And this business about being, unequally yoked. You can be unequally yoked right from the church. Just because you go to church and you go to church does not mean that y'all automatically equally yoke. And so that needs to be talked about. So, trying to find what we deem to be a great place to find men, which would be, the church for women, that might not be the place. You may be able to find Mr. Wright may be able to find you at work. I don't know, at school. It just depends on the situation. But one thing I will know is he will not knock on your door because you've been hiding in there for the last 8 months. It's not going to happen. And so, again, my thing is that are you ready to be in a relationship?
Mm-hmm.
Can you honestly say, man, I am 100% good mentally, spiritually, emotionally? Because the reality is that you just keep going from relationship to relationship to relationship, and you're giving your heart away, and some of y'all are giving your heart away too early, prematurely, and it's happening over and over again, and you got to change that up, because if you don't, it's going to be harder and harder for you to try to love someone, because you're going to always be thinking about the last person who dialed you out, and that is a man's worst nightmare to meet a woman and knowing that he's a good man and she has all of these walls up, and it's due to the last 8 men that she dealt with. And so now this dude got to suffer because of what the last 8 guys did. And ladies, that is not cool. Don't do your man like that. Don't do your future husband like that. Make sure that you deal with the issues that you need to deal with. If it's rejection, if it's neglect, whatever it is, if it was a rape, molestation, whatever it was, you need to be able to deal with it now before you get into a relationship. Because when you get in a relationship, as I talked about last night, you need to be in a relationship with a builder. And let me clarify that, because last night we talked about this, you need to be in a relationship with the builder with the intentions that this is a man that or a woman that I'm going to be with for the rest of my life, And I have this 90-day rule. You have 90 days to kind of figure out what type of guy, what type of woman you're dealing with. And, you take it from there. You court. As I said last night, we don't hear that word no more. That's a cuss word. But we need to court again. We need to get to know each other. And then once we get to know each other, and, now it's 6 months. Now I need to figure out, okay, are you a builder, or are you a taker? Which one are you? What's your assignment? Because I don't have too many people coming to my life taking from me. And enough is enough. I tell people like this, guys. I said, listen, people come to your life. We know we heard this cliche over and over again. But people come to your life for a reason, a season, and a lifetime, right? The issue is at this point in your life, you don't have time for any more seasonal people. You don't have time for any more reasonable people. They're here just for a reason, trying to get from you. Now you need to start attracting people who are going to be in your life for a lifetime. Because enough is enough, all right? So in order to find Mr. Right, again, it really depends. It really is not really on the man. You need to make sure as a woman that you know what you want, you're in a good place to receive, and then I believe the men will automatically be attracted to you. One of the things that I realized about the story with Boaz and Ruth, and we all know the story, you know, there was many women out there in that field. You know, she was not the only one, and we actually did a show about this, but she was not the only woman in the field. There was plenty of women that Boaz could have chose, but guess what, guys? There was something special about Ruth that grabbed his attention. And so my question to you is how are you grabbing men's attention? I'm going to just let that marinate for a little bit. Are you dressing provocatively? How are you grabbing men's attention? Why would a man be attracted to you? What is it that you have to offer? And we're talking about finding Mr. Right. So ultimately, Mr. Right has to reflect where you already are. I said this last night, and I think it's worth saying again, that when we date and when we marry, ladies, you don't date. You don't marry a man's potential. You marry and you date the reality. And so with that being said, you know, what is it that he has right now that will help you build? What is it that he has now that will enhance what you already have? One of the things that as we talk about relationships, guys, the first relationship that we ever known to man was Adam and Eve. And I tell this story because people need to understand that when Adam was here by himself and Eve was not on the picture, guess what, guys? He had everything to his disposal. He wasn't lacking anything. He had money. He had food. You know, he lived a good life way before Eve came on the scene. The reality is that his life was not going to be complete until he had a helpmate. And so the reality is, ladies, is that y'all been working too hard. And we've been doing what I call role-playing, and the man has become the woman, and the woman has become the man. And so the issue with Adam and Eve was that when Eve came into the picture, ladies, her only job was to help enhance what Adam already had. I'm going to say that again. Her job was only to enhance what Adam already had. And so as you're trying to find or you're trying to be located by Mr. Right, your job is to enhance, all right? Keyword, enhance what he already has. Now, the problem is you need to make sure he has something. You need to make sure that he is, you know, he has a house, he has a car, you know, he has a career, he has a work ethic, you know, he has a profession. He's doing something. So that when you come into the picture, you shouldn't be working 8,000 and 5,000 jobs. You should only be in a position to help to enhance what he already has going on. This is why you need a builder. This is why you need a builder. You don't need a person who's going to be taken from you. You need a builder. And so if a person is not helping you build, if you're an entrepreneur, if you're a woman about her business, a woman about her hustle, don't mess with no knucklehead that ain't about that same life. You're going to be wasting your time. Because you're going to try to get him to be, you know, catch this entrepreneur spirit, and he don't want to. Because he don't have no work ethic. Lazy. He just want to eat, sleep, and have sex. And the problem is, you're going to get over that real quick. And so you need to be attracting a builder, somebody who's going to help you build, somebody who's going to help you, you know, go to the next level, and you're going to help him go to the next level. And so, guys, as we end this call, we got about 4 minutes left. There's a couple of things that you need to do to find Mr. Right. One, you need to be in the right place. You need to be in the right position to be found. Number two is you need to make sure that you're mentally, spiritually, physically, mentally ready to be in a relationship. Now, Mr. Right, you know, ultimately is a sign that he's coming to your life so that you can get off the market for good. You know, this man ain't coming into your life to just make you feel good. But he's coming into your life because ultimately your destiny is connected to this man, all right? So you need to make sure that you're ready for a serious relationship. Now, if you're not done playing, then I'm not talking to you. You know, if you're still trying to, you know, as my dad says, you know, sow your royal oats, then I'm not talking to you. But I'm talking to mature women who know what they want and they're tired of playing this dating game over and over again and they're serious. And most of you guys are, but I think the problem is that, again, you're attracting the wrong people because of previous soul ties, the residue of soul ties. And that's my third point. You need to be able to get rid of these soul ties, the residue of these soul ties, because it's affecting your process of thinking, it's affecting the relationships that you continue to attract, and something has to change. It's October as of Saturday, guys. You know, it's fall is officially here. So that means you got about 2 1 months left after October. You got 2 months left, and it'll be January. And so are you going to start 2017 the way you started 2016? And if so, you're going to be in the same situation. You got to change it up. And you can't make decisions based off of your emotions. So I believe if you guys listen to these tools, these keys, I believe that you'll be in the position to find Mr. Right. The good news is that you're getting ready to be located. That's the good news. And so you just need to stand your ground. Stay in the position to be found, you know. Don't be caught up emotionally with a knucklehead that's going to ultimately block, you know, your vision for seeing Mr. Right. And some of y'all had plenty of chances to find Mr. Right. And if that Mr. Right found you, but guess what? You wasn't even ready. You know, he was in front of your face the whole time. Now, Mr. Right may not look like Boaz. He may be fat and stubby. Maybe bald headed. May have dreads. I don't know. He may not look like what you think he ought to look like. And some of you guys have passed over Mr. Right for Mr. Right now. And so, you know, we got to really, really, you know, be in a place where, you know, you're ready to receive. And I say we because as men, you know, I'm talking to the men too. You know, we got to be in a place where we're able to receive a good woman and be able to treat her like the queen that she is. So, guys, we got 2 minutes left on this show. You guys can leave your questions, your comments, your concerns in my inbox. I will be honored to answer as many questions tonight as possible. I want you guys to join me back again Tuesday night, every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for It's Complicated with yours truly, Dr. G. Davis. And, guys, we're going to have an amazing time. If you're interested in receiving relationship therapy and sessions and premarital sessions, listen, I'm your man. I'm your man. Give me a call. I'll be happy to help you out. Phone number is 407-965-9419. You can find us on the web at www.relationshiprehaborlando.com. If you're anywhere in the city of Orlando and in the surrounding areas of Central Florida, I need to meet you. I need to talk to you. If you have know anybody who needs a serious, serious relationship intervention, I'll be honored to talk to you and get you back on track, especially those who have experienced heartbreak and heartache in relationships and marriage. I'll be honored to talk to you. So give me a call, and we'll get you right back on track. So, guys, it's been a pleasure with you tonight. Hopefully something has been said that kind of clicks and makes sense. We're going to expound on this again some other time. But I hope that was enough to get you back on track. So, listen, everyone, I want you to have a great night. We'll talk to you soon. Thank you again, Tamika, Tanyanika, Monica, for joining the panel tonight. Thank you guys for being my guest co-host. And so we thank God for you. And listen, guys, whatever you do, you want to make sure that you're making the right decisions. You are at the second half of your life. And guess what? You're at the green light. The ball is in your court. What are you going to do with it? That's the question. Are you going to continue allowing the past to repeat itself? Are you going to change the face of history, change your destiny? Listen, something definitely has to change, because the way things are going, it cannot remain. And so when you are serious about changing your situation, nobody has to tell you. You're just going to get up and change. And so let's not make any more excuses for where we are not and the reason why we're not happy right now. Let's make change. That's what we need. Make a decision to change. And if you can do it, I promise you it's going to bless your life. I'll talk to you soon. Have a great night. I'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.